part two of the Chris Nelson podcast with your host Ruben J. I love that that title of the podcast. if you haven't listened to part one of this show, it's the debut show of Chris Nelson's podcast here on MultimediaMouth.com. The first hour of the show is dedicated to the rise and fall of Impact Wrestling, and this part of the show is going to be dedicated to Slammiversary. But I do want to address one little thing real quick. Are you watching Impact on Spike UK?
No, I catch enough occasionally. If there's something that seems worth watching when I read the spoilers, I'll go and watch it. But I'm not actually watching the television.
What are you watching WWE on a regular basis or any wrestling?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't have pay TV, so I don't have the Raw and SmackDown shows up to date. But so I'll catch up with bits of that on the official YouTube, but I do have a network, so okay. I'm up to date with NXT. I watch a lot of the originals, and I'm always going back and watching something old. If I think, oh, I haven't seen that match in ages, I'll go back and watch it, or I'll just pick a show at random and enjoy that.
Okay, so Spike UK, Impact Wrestling premiered on Spike UK on April 22nd. So yeah. It's been a whole 2 months. The only numbers that I've been able to find for that show is for the first official show. I haven't been able to find anything since then. But for just to compare, Spike UK's debut of Impact Wrestling drew 151 viewers. 151,000 viewers, sorry. Can you imagine?
You know, just as an aside, they're not on TV anymore. There's a husband and wife called Richard and Judy, and they presented a show called This Morning. It was kind of Good Morning America kind of thing, and they presented this on ITV for many, many years. Then it was their time to move on from This Morning, so they went and they did a show on Channel 4. It was about tea time. And it had reasonable success, and they started there something that they're still doing, which is a book club where they recommended different authors and things, and that's been huge, and that's been a huge money spinner. But after Channel 4 decided not to renew their contracts, they went to a much smaller cable pay TV channel, which was essentially set up for their vehicles, for their projects. And they went from where they'd been drawing millions to then hundreds of thousands. Their first week on this channel drew something like 28,000 viewers.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
that's insane. That's a good number for a podcast. You know, because if you do over 100,000, you're a huge success. But for a television show, that's not good. But you know what I find funny about my fib right here, or whatever, not my fib, my whatever the word is that when you mess up. I think there's a part of both of us that thought 151 viewers is actually reasonable for Impact Wrestling.
Well, when you first said it, I thought, yeah, no, I can get that if there's lack of promotion, things like that. I can see that that amount of apathy.
Yeah, but it was 151,000 viewers. Their most watched episode on Challenge in 2016 was 165,000. So.
They've retained an audience.
Huh? They retained an audience, yeah, and they were off air in the UK for like 4 or 5 months. So for them to be able to,
I think their first show was a bit of a best of. I think it was one of the Christmas best of ones.
No, on Spike.
Yeah,
maybe they did something unofficially. But this was an episode of Impact that aired here.
All right, cool.
So yeah, okay. so this is at least it's what I'm assuming. I don't think the best of would have done that good. Although the best ofs did that bad in the U.S. So I think their best ofs this last year or the year before did about 150,000 views. So let me pull up the card for Impact Slammiversary tonight. Give me a second here. See, I should have done this in between our break, but. You know, I didn't think about it. So,
well, as you're getting that up, I can start us off then by going into the card, because we'll do it sort of from bottom to top. And so we have the first match, which is for the Unified Impact Wrestling World and GFW Tag Team Championships.
Well, that's a four-way match. That's a mouthful.
Yeah. The stipulation, four-way tag team match for the Unified Impact Wrestling World and GFW Tag Team Championships.
Oh, my God.
Bearing in mind that Borash is on the card, so he's not going to be doing the ring announcing. Someone's going to struggle with that one.
Yeah, well, it's Don West and a guy named Ross or Russ or something like that.
So the teams are LAX, which isn't really LAX. I'm sorry. If it's not Homicide and Hernandez, you can't really call it that. It is now Ortiz and Santana. This is the Angel Ortiz is a name that I'm aware of, and
it's funny, the card I'm looking at doesn't even have that on the main card.
See, these are guys who don't even have their own wiki pages. This is the kind of level they're at now. And LAX was one of TNA's biggest tag teams. And they're facing guys from Mexico. You've got Drago and El Hijo del Fantasma. Then you've got Naomichi Marufuji and Taiji Ishimori from NOAH. And Laredo Kid and Garza Jr. So you've got two other luchadors in there.
Is it bad that I don't care about any of the people in this match?
Well, I have. In 2009, I went to see... 2010, I went to see Pro Wrestling NOAH toured the UK. And so I saw Marufuji and Ishimori live. Ishimori was just starting out at that point. He's what you would describe as a very pretty man. And he was in the dark match against a wrestler, I think he's Mexican or Puerto Rican, called Ricky Marvin. But during his match, somebody just a couple of rows in front of me stood up and shouted out, "You are an exceptionally beautiful man."
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
And ever since then, I've been a huge fan of Ishimori. there's no one in the match that you've got four pretty well-respected luchadors, I believe, right, looking at their profiles in terms of what they do in Mexico in AAA. You've got Marufuji, who's fairly well-respected in Japan, and Ishimori, who's got a growing reputation. You've got LAX, which is featuring two, and I don't like to say this because I don't like to feel like I'm denigrating the guys, the talent, but they're not names. It's not Homicide and Hernandez. It's not even Chavo Jr. It's not anyone. And you've got this match for these unified tag team champions for your big reboot. And you've got four teams, one of which, Marufuji and Ishimori, aren't sticking around because they're going back to Japan. They are to work with AAA, so possibly one of the Mexican teams will get it, one of the Lucha teams. But what's the draw there? There's no one there who the fans are really going to hate or get behind.
Yeah, they need a team. They need a team to come in that people are going to care about. You know, if they want, or you know what, just get rid of the tag division until you have a couple of tag teams that you're willing to really push. Because you know, I don't like divisions that don't really have a division. You know, like
no, I agree. Yes.
One tag team from your promotion and three from others isn't a tag team division.
It's not at all. I'm just trying to bring up their roster.
Well, their roster might be a list of free agents, just FYI.
Pretty much is. Yeah, and I'm looking at it, and like a lot of these guys aren't even there now because they've had another set of people go. But they've got no tag teams. The thing is, I'm sure this will be an insane spot fest match with some, you know, you'll have some lucha stuff, you'll have the strong style in there. There will be some good stuff in this match. But this is, as this card is laid out, this will probably be the opening match, i.e. the idea being it'll set the pace.
Yeah, I mean,
but anyone who thinks, it's pay per view, so no one's going to think. Oh, anyone who streams it, pirates it, anyone who's in a bar where it happens to be on, they're going to look up. They're not going to recognize any of these guys.
Well, let's also put it this way: nobody in the U.S. puts wrestling on at a bar, so.
No, and here's the other thing. This is, and I was looking at these cards. If we look at the tag situation, because this is for a title that's already been unified. But at, if you look at the Global Force Tag Championship, it was vacated when the Bollywood Boys went to WWE. And so this incarnation of LAX won it. They defeated the Veterans of War, which was, I believe, Jesse Neal and someone. Two Army veterans they've got in the promotion. They defeated them on Impact. And they've got these belts. The TNA tag titles were vacated when the Hardys went to WWE.
So essentially they unified two vacant championships.
Yeah, but they'd already done it as well. So they could have had they could have had this be the tournament final. They could have had, like, if they wanted the four-way, had four qualifying matches to establish some teams and some angles on television and put it in. But no, let's just stick four random teams together out there cold on pay-per-view for two tag titles that have got no real value.
Sounds like Impact.
It's exactly, this is Impact in a nutshell now.
Now, do you have anything else to say about the tag team titles, or do you want to move forward?
No, that's it. It was just the point that the idiocy of having two vacant titles and then putting them on people to have a match for unified titles when you could have had a build to it on pay-per-view. But then TNA never builds to pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, they only have two a year now, so it's really hard to, and they're like 4 months apart, you know? Well, 4 months apart and then like 8 months apart, so.
Yeah.
Now, another thing that kind of sums up Impact Wrestling is the Moose, D'Angelo Williams versus Drake and Chris Adonis, having D'Angelo Williams, who's an NFL star, whom they didn't even, I don't think he even made any of the TV tapings.
No.
This just has WCW Impact classic stamp on it.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on this match, and who do you think is going to win, and does it matter?
It certainly doesn't matter who's going to win. Eli Drake, by all accounts, is on his way out of the company, I think. So I imagine it being TNA that Williams is going to get the win. Because this is largely, and again, another TNA staple, copying WWE. At WrestleMania, you had Mojo win the Battle Royal because one of his football buddies was there.
Oh yeah, and helped him. Yeah, I forgot about that.
I mean, I maintain Mojo won that because Shaq pulled out of Mania, and so they wanted a big sports star to appear in the ring.
Yeah, and you know what's funny about that? We can talk about that a different time. Poor Big Show. He just wants a match with Shaq, and it's never going to happen.
I think it would be a decent match as well.
I think it would be a great match, actually. I think it would be a classic big man match, but that's neither here nor there.
This Moose was somewhat in Ring of Honor. I haven't seen much of him in Ring of Honor. I was a big fan of Moose. Big, muscular, charismatic dude. He was so different to the kind of wrestler you normally see in Ring of Honor. Him and D'Angelo Williams as a team with a bit of build would be good, but you do need the untrained guy with far more of a ring general than Moose is.
Yeah.
Chris Adonis, formerly Chris Masters, is a good worker, but again, he's come in with Jarrett in this run. There's nothing of note. There's no heat there. Drake is someone, a lot of people I know are quite high on him. I don't see it. He is incredibly bland.
He's like the teenage version of Mr. Kennedy, when Mr. Kennedy kind of first came on the screen. I liked Ken Anderson. He and I are friends on Facebook, but you know, he was very obnoxious, and I think that's what got him over. Yeah, I don't see much out of him just being a one trick pony.
No, and he is someone who, rumor has it, as he goes from Impact now. He'll end up in NXT, or the Performance Center. That's where he needs to be.
Yeah.
Because there's potential there, and he has a look. But he's in desperate need of development. And if, bearing in mind, again, great workers, but if WWE, their developmental, can turn Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano, who were like Johnny Indie before, two good worker but boring indie guys, into a really compelling angle, then their developmental can do pretty much anything. So I have faith they could turn Eli Drake into something interesting.
I think if someone gave Eli Drake direction and, like you said, developed his character, he'd do great.
Yeah.
The funny thing about this match is they aired a training video with Moose and D'Angelo Williams, with Williams just taking back bumps the entire time. And then they aired...
Well, I suppose he's training to wrestle, but that's not really what you want to show, is it?
Yeah, well, yeah, you don't want to show, you know, Moose training him how to fall down, because it's like, okay, well, this guy's just going to take punches and fall. But they aired a training session between Jeremy Borash and Joseph Parks, where they had Jeremy doing all these flips into a pool and stuff, and it was actually kind of funny how somebody who has no athletic background in Jeremy Borash is being portrayed as a better potential wrestler than D'Angelo Williams, who's an NFL star.
To be honest, they should just book him like Lawrence Taylor, WrestleMania 12, just a bunch of shoulder tackles, and I'd say Masters can bump well enough for him. Just have him bounce off him a few times. You don't need to do anything more than that. Give him the hot tag, a few shoulder tackles, 3-point stance, done.
Yep. Have him jump off the top rope with the splash and win the match. And then also have him out the next NFL season because he hurt his knee on the landing or something. Okay, so another match here that I have no interest in whatsoever. Not because the match itself isn't going to be good, but because the storyline behind it is so stupid. Davey Richards, Eddie Edwards with their respective wives as part of a mixed tag match.
Yeah, this match. This is one I've got things to say about. Because first of all, Davey Richards is someone I have zero respect for.
Really?
At all. Yeah. His conduct over the years in professional wrestling has been dreadful. He's walked away from promoters and held them up for more money. He's beaten up rookie kids. He hasn't done it for a while, actually, and apparently since he's been with Angelina, it's chilled him out a bit. But he used to do the, I don't really like wrestling, I'm going to go and quit and be a fireman. But he'd cry wolf every 6-8 months and do this and not actually do it. And then come back. So he'd be going to leave and he'd have a big finale and then he'd come back. And also, Eddie Edwards is someone who... I generally see more upside in Eddie. They're both good workers, but I just think Eddie's got more babyface charisma to go solo. The two of them had their tryout when William Regal pulled a lot of strings to get them a tryout in NXT. Davey got his bell rung quite quickly in the match, and so they were told to go home. Told to take the match home, and he just stayed out there and got all his stuff in anyway and annoyed management and basically got Regal in trouble, even though he'd gotten the tryout, and basically screwed Eddie of any chance of getting into WWE as well. Which is why they're stuck in Impact, with the ridiculous claw mark gimmick. They're really good workers, or can be, with the right direction. But together, it's bland, it's samey, and this angle, as you say, it's just...
Well, imagine this, okay? Imagine Davey Richards comes back while Eddie Edwards is the champion, supports his friend, Eddie Edwards then loses the title a couple of weeks later, down on his luck, Davey comes to him and says, let's get the Wolves back together. Let's get one more run, okay?
Yeah.
Then they spend the next year chasing the Hardys, or 6 months, whatever it was that time frame happened, and then they win the TNA titles, okay? LAX comes back, they win the Global Force titles, and the two of them battle it out. Imagine how much better
the
tag team match would have been with the Wolves versus LAX unification match. I don't care who wins at that point. You know, I mean, I probably would have it on the Wolves first and then have LAX chase the Wolves into Bound for Glory. And then after that, TNA, Global Force, TNGFWIWWCW.
TN Owl.
TN Owl. Oh, yeah. That's actually a good one. We should give them that one. You know, Bound for Glory, they lose the titles to LAX. Impact announces a championship tournament that's going to lead them into the new year. You know, and the final two competitors, Eddie Edwards, Davey Richards, they battle it out. Eddie wins again. Okay. Now giving Davey a reason to be pissed.
Yeah.
Goes out. They have a match at the beginning of the year. Lashley versus Edwards, whoever the champion is. And Davey Richards comes out and screws him over because, hey, buddy, this was my shot. This was supposed to be my time to win, to go for the championship. And you stole it from me again. You are a son of a bitch. And I'm going to make sure that you're miserable from here on out. And keep their wives out of it.
They feuded. I mean, the thing is, they feuded in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Haven't they feuded in TNA before?
Did they?
I'm almost certain they've had matches against each other, even if they didn't feud.
Yeah, well,
so it's not like this is a new thing.
Yeah, well, I think that was during a vacant championship or something. Like it was. Yeah. It was something like that.
And then the other thing is, and again, copying WWE, because high profile mixed tag on WrestleMania. Cena and Nikki versus Miz and Maryse, which the match was something and nothing, but the angle was tremendously entertaining because of the Miz's work.
Yeah.
So again, you're just ripping off a much more successful angle.
And doing
with guys who can do that drama side of it far better than they can, because with the best one in the world, Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards are not angle guys, they're wrestling guys.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, too, it's like, nobody cares about Angelina Love.
No.
And nobody cares
not
about
since
Alicia.
The first time the beautiful people were around. And yeah, Alicia Edwards could be a good part of the women's division, but seriously, she's been around 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You're not going to get people to care about her in this angle.
And the only thing people want to see from Angelina Love is they want to see her naked, you know? Like, that's, and even at this point, probably not so much, but still, it's like nobody cares about this. With Nikki and Maryse, people actually cared. There was a story. Yeah. There was a real story there.
Yeah. Which had not just the wrestling programming behind it, had Total Divas behind it as well.
Which,
so you had an entirely different audience for it as well.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I ran into more women who were excited about this match because they watched Total Divas. You know, Impact. You know, it's just a cluster with that. So who do you think is going to win? Who do you want to win?
Eddie, because I just don't like seeing Davey go over, but I think they're going to push Davey.
Yeah, I think Davey needs to win, mainly because that needs to be the end of the program, because this program's gone on like 3 months too long. And I actually thought the program was over, and then all of a sudden it was back on again. So I'm like, okay.
That there's a TNA staple of you'll have the guy beaten down and lost, and then all of a sudden the next night they're getting their heat back, or trying to, except the match has already been paid off.
Exactly. I think Davey's going over on this one. Low key, Sanjay Dutt, 2 out of 3 falls match for the X Division Championship. Another division that they should probably put on hold until
they have more guys for it,
more depth. Yeah, because as much as I like Sanjay Dutt as a person, I had him on the show a couple weeks ago, and as much as I enjoy watching Low Key, this match feels so 2004.
Yeah, this is two guys who... Sanjay, I don't know what the issue's been, but Low Key blew his chance in WWE. Not all his fault, but his attitude certainly didn't help it by any accounts. Because he apparently really, really kvetched behind the scenes about doing stuff with Michelle McCool and Layla. But that was the most interesting stuff he did. And they had a really weird but fun chemistry. And it gave him a different side, which he needed. Because he wasn't going to just... with the best of will in the world, he wasn't going to become Daniel Bryan and get over with babyface fire or anything.
Well, and even Daniel had to deal with the Bella Twins before.
Yeah.
Before he got over.
Well, that worked out quite well for him in the long run, didn't it? So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he ended up with the better of the two.
I don't. This is, as you say, this is a match, and I've seen it so many times, and there's nothing fresh, and it just feels like they've gone. It was a period just before Hogan and Bischoff came in where they threw Daniels, Joe, and AJ into a triple threat main event. And it was about 5 years after their classic one at TNA Unbreakable in 2005, which was an awesome triple threat.
Yeah.
Now, the match was technically good, but there was no build to it. It was, okay, we've got to have one pay-per-view before the new guys come in. Let's just throw these three guys out there with no build. The thing is, because I haven't watched it, there may be some sort of angle to this, and presumably there is because they've gone two out of three falls. But there's nothing about this that says to me, this is fresh and new.
No, and especially because they built up.
It looks like there was an angle, and it says that apparently Loki injured Dutt's eye, and they've been going after each other's eyes. It's not interesting.
What the hell is this, eye for an eye?
Yeah.
The hell? Yeah, no, you know, and the
and
thing.
I'm not a fan of worked injuries with so many real life injuries and tragedies.
Yeah, for sure. But the big thing too is like they built up to Sanjay's title victory in India. It felt like a pay-per-view moment. It felt like the end of the story, which it should have been. They should have moved on to somebody else. But the problem was that was 2 weeks ago, and they only had 2 weeks to build up to another match. So, again. Another reason to have some roster depth there. So, who do you think, Loki or Sanjay?
It should be Sanjay, which probably means it'll be Loki.
I agree. I think Loki is going to take the title, and then probably at Bound for Glory we'll be having the same conversation, mm-hmm. and it will probably be like an X Division or an Ultimate X match or something. Now, the next match that I'm going to talk about, I'm really interested in this one, mainly because it's actually a decent build. Rosemary versus Sienna, Impact Championship, Impact Knockouts title versus the GFW Women's title.
Yeah, this one has the potential to be a decent match.
Mm-hmm.
There's a minimum of rubbish around it. It's just. It's just an interesting match that's got an angle to it. Shock horror, it becomes when you want to see. Both of these are girls I'd like to see end up coming to NXT and be part of that women's division very soon.
But Chris, can I ask you something real quick?
Go on.
Do we just want Impact Wrestling to be sold to WWE to become NXT?
No, I want the good talent to go to. I want the good talent. I want part. There's a morbid fascination with TNA, whatever we're going to call it, their cockroach ability to keep going.
Yeah.
And I want to see them carry. I want there to be more backstage drama. I got to. Every time I see something kick off, I just sit back and I want to grab my popcorn because it's like I said on the previous podcast. If you try to sell that to sell what's happened in TNA to as a TV drama, people would go, no, that's not realistic. I like it when that stuff happens because that's all TNA's had going for it for a while.
That's interesting.
So I just want my personal favorites to go to the WWE and get a shot and the rest to stick around in progressively smaller venues.
You are vindictive, to say the least.
Yeah. 32, I'm 32. I went to my first wrestling show when I was 4. So 28 years a wrestling fan turns you pretty cynical.
Yeah. You know, we'll talk about that. That's a podcast in itself. So we have like 6 episodes of podcasting planned out already. stay tuned, Nelsonites. That's what I'm calling people who tune into the show, Nelsonites.
No, I don't like that at all.
We need to get a t-shirt up on the website ASAP. Who do you see taking this one? I'll tell you who my money's on in a second here.
I hope Rosemary, because I just think she, in terms of gimmick and everything, she's got, she's of more interest as a champion. But I think because it's the Global Force thing, I think they're going to go Sienna, which isn't a bad choice either.
No, and I agree with you 100% on Sienna. I think Sienna's going to win. I don't know. I think Sienna's been presented as a strong women's heel, unless, and I think they're going to want the Global Force champions to succeed. And this is probably me spoiling my thoughts for the future, for another match coming up here in a second. Because and that will tell us for sure if they're going to go with Global Force or if they're going to go with Impact. Because if the Impact champions win, then it'll be Impact Wrestling. If the Global Force champions win, then it'll be Global Force Wrestling. And I think Sienna is a great heel. And I think there's money in her being champion for a couple of months. And there's money in having... They need to find a strong woman babyface who's not Rosemary to chase the title.
Yeah, I think certainly there's a good case for that. I also think... I am a huge fan of Rosemary, but I think her thunder, her gimmick... It's not been stolen, but focus has been stolen by Nikki Cross doing something similar in WWE with better production.
Yeah, yeah, and I think Nikki Cross is a better worker.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. Again, the Rosemary and Sienna are both quite raw, and again, in the past, I was very much before NXT became the current and the Performance Center and the WWE developmental became the machine for producing great talent. There was a period I didn't want people like this to go there because I thought they'd just get lost in the shuffle. Now it's so good for taking raw guys and girls who need polish and direction and development that I get so excited when I see someone with so much ability, so much potential. I think, get into that machine as soon as you can.
Go and take over. Go be a superstar.
Climb the ladder, kid. Make yourself famous.
There you go. Now, I'll be honest. I'm really interested in this match, mainly because I want to see Jeremy Borash and Josh Matthews wrestle. So it's Jeremy Borash and Joseph Parks versus Josh Matthews and Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner.
This match. I have things to say.
please unleash.
Right, Josh Matthews, not a fan of his. He was inoffensive and fine. In fact, at times he and Michael Cole were quite good together on SmackDown in WWE. However, even if he's working it a little bit, the pole personality he's presented, his constant trolling on Twitter, he's a genuinely unlikable person. I don't want to see him get his ass kicked on pay-per-view. I just don't want him on television. He annoys me. He spoils my enjoyment of clips that I've watched. And bear in mind, I'm watching like recaps and matches in isolation. He's not a good commentator. He's one of these people who needed Vince in his ear, clearly, to make him a better commentator. I don't care about his angle.
I'm gonna stop you there for a quick second, because sure. When Josh Matthews first came to Impact Wrestling in 2016, I thought he was quite good. I thought he did what he needed to do. He presented himself as the lead play-by-play guy, and then
he
got lazy.
He did cope very, very well, because that was a period where they were going through all sorts of changes, and they were in the what became known as the pillow fort, because they were doing commentary in post, and they were doing things out of what was clearly a hotel room. And he presented that as well and as professionally as he could. Then he decided he was going to, or someone decided he was going to be a character and part of the show, and he was going to be heel Michael Cole, but more annoying and less entertaining.
Yes. I agree.
And it doesn't work. It's not done anything for me other than annoy me. And whether it's him, whether it's a work, whether it's a combination of the two, I don't like him online because it's too much punching down. He's not actually playing the character. He's just being a douche.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not sure what the plan is for this match. I'm not sure what the plan is for Josh Matthews. I do know that he was promoted into an executive role behind the scenes. That's could
set in on a number of levels.
Yes. I think Josh Matthews works best in an interview role. You know, so I wouldn't be surprised if they move him from the commentary booth into more of, hey, the Josh Matthews show on Impact's YouTube channel. He develops that. And I like Jeremy Borash. I love Jeremy Borash.
Jeremy Borash is someone I have a huge amount of respect for. There are very few people more hardworking and more talented. He can turn his hand to pretty much anything in wrestling. And I have faith he'll actually be an entertaining non-wrestler in a match.
Yes.
Because he gets the wrestling business, and he's been part of it so long. But the man, he can commentate, he can ring announce, he can cut a promo, he can produce, he can he was on creative in TNA, in the period of TNA that I loved. The creative team was Jarrett, TNA, and Borash, with Scott D'Amore helping out. That's an incredibly talented man. And I'm never quite sure why. Maybe because he's got a lot of, he can have his finger in a lot of pies, and he wouldn't in WWE. But I'm surprised WWE have never given him a chance, because him on the network, just as a creative guy, for that to be able to pitch and produce some shows would be amazing.
Yeah, and that's the thing that people don't realize about Jeremy Borash, is that he actually has a small little production company, and he's producing some television shows, mainly a cooking show with Gail Kim's husband, but. Yeah. But Jeremy Borash, I'm surprised that he never went to like try to run the company. You know, like he should have been named president of the company a while back. You know, he should be the one calling the shots, because he knows
when Anthem bought the company and it was all up in the air with Corgan and what have you, and nobody knew who was doing what. They should have said to Borash, "Look after it for us.
Yeah, run it.
We might bring someone else in. But this, consider this your job trial." And you know what? Borash probably would have brought Jarrett in.
Yeah.
Because they're close. But, yeah. He's an undersung hero.
Yes, and I believe this wholeheartedly, that if Global Force would have been able to get a TV deal and secure funding, and it would have looked viable, I think Jeremy Borash would have left TNA for Global Force.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have stuck around.
As it stands, Borash is the only one who's been there since day one.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. I think he was on that fishing trip, too. I'm not sure exactly if he was or wasn't, but he was definitely what. He's the only TNA original outside of Jeff Jarrett. But Jeff Jarrett had his hiatus, his, you know, three-year hiatus, whatever. So, yeah, it's an interesting take on Borash. Scott Steiner, do you have any interest in seeing Scott Steiner in the ring again?
No. Steiner, again, I have issues with the man outside the ring. I don't. Things he's done, things he's said, I don't like how the man conducts himself. In the ring, as a wrestling personality, he has in the past been. Well, he's been like three or four different incarnations, because you had early Steiner Brothers, then you had post injury Steiner Brothers, then he turned into Big Papa Pump in WCW and was great. Then, all right, the WWE run we'll put to one side. He wasn't well at the time.
He wasn't well?
No, he was suffering quite badly from some sort of nerve condition in his foot.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And that was why his match quality was poor during that period. Because they brought in Steiner because they were really desperate for talent on top. He was working with an illness, and you had Hunter working with an injury. That's why he was in the longer tights for a period. And that's why their matches sucked, as well as personality clash. But when he came back into TNA, and everyone remembered the WWE run. But he was great in TNA, and he had a great series with Samoa Joe, and he would bust out Frankensteiners. There was never any ego. He put over everybody. I loved his stuff with Petey Williams.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
But he looks... Maybe he can still do all that stuff, but he doesn't... He looks out of shape now. He looks just like a roided-up old man.
Wasn't he a roided-up old man for a long time?
He's been a roided-up man for a long time, but he looked like a roided-up old man who could still go. Now he's a bit... He looks like he's carrying a bit more water weight and things like that, and a bit more puffy.
Will be interesting to see him in the ring.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't think he's wrestled a match in a long time.
No. And that's the other thing, is he's going to be rusty, even if he's been working hard behind the scenes. As far as the character stuff goes, I think him as the bully heel with Josh Matthews, that works great. I just don't like the whole angle is poor for me from the start. But I can see the logic of having Steiner as Matthews' guy. But I can also see Steiner turning on Matthews.
Which would be hilarious.
It would be. And at least it'd be some sort of proper comeuppance if he has... I mean, I don't want to see Abyss Blade again, but because it's just happened so many times. But if they can do, without the blood, Joseph Park turning into Abyss and have Abyss and Steiner turn on Josh Matthews... That would be at least some form of payoff.
And it could be a new tag team.
Didn't they team together in Ring of King?
Probably.
Which we completely neglected to mention in the first part.
Yeah, well, that wasn't really TNA, though.
It wasn't really TNA, but it was mostly TNA talent, and it was showing how success... There's an example that Jarrett can be a successful promoter.
Yeah. And that was what... I mean, I was a huge... When Global Force was officially announced, I was like, yes, let's do this. Go, Jarrett. Go, Jeff. You know, because I remember, Rinka King. Never really enjoyed the name, but yeah, it was good. It was good wrestling. Mm. And then I think they tried doing the All Wheels Wrestling. Do you remember the All Wheels Wrestling?
Yeah, that was less good, but it was interesting.
Yeah, I think they did one pilot episode.
Yeah, that was the period where, because TNA was doing okay, and because WWE was well established, people were trying different things. Because remember, you had Celebrity Championship Wrestling.
Yeah.
And didn't Eric try and produce some sort of midget wrestling show?
Yes.
Yeah, some sort of little person show, which is ill-advised in this century, but it's... yeah. Joseph Park, I'm a huge fan of the character, and anything that stops Chris Parks from putting himself in more broken glass and in tacks again and again and again, I'm in favor of it. So yeah.
Yeah, the Abyss character probably could use a long, long, long vacation.
Yeah. My main issue, and funny enough, you came online and we started talking earlier, I was listening to some old podcasts and things, and I was listening to some Lance Storm stuff, and he was talking about Joseph Park's first run during it, and it was when he was training for his first match. And this is the idiocy and the TNA's obsession with, in the past, I don't know if it's still the case, with things being funny over things being good.
Mm-hmm.
And he's supposed to be the successful lawyer who's nervous of fighting, but he's gone to train as a wrestler. And like 4 months down the line of training, he still can't get in the ring properly. But, he's supposed to be a successful lawyer. Now, I can see if you want to portray him as not athletically gifted, fine. But at least have him be smart, because that's what the character's got.
Yeah, yep. It's TNA for you.
I hope they turn Joseph Park into a general manager figure. I mean, it seems Bruce Pritchard's doing it, but having someone that big and intimidating, who even if he doesn't know, the talent know, they can't annoy him because he'll turn into Abyss. So you've got the intelligent legal guy out there putting out the match stipulations and doing cutting the promos. Talent aren't going to mess with him because he's enormous and could be a monster.
Yeah, but the thing with TNA right now, too, is they have one too many on-air management people.
Oh, totally. They always have. It's been an issue.
They have too many at this point.
Way back.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's like
if they're gonna do some sort of reboot or restart, take them all off and just have Joseph Park as that figure, because that works, and you're not gonna have people bullying him because of that reason.
Put Bruce Pritchard on commentary. I would love to hear that. Especially if it's Jeremy Borash and Bruce Pritchard, would be great.
I'm all in favor of having Don West back as full time commentator.
I've never liked Don West. As a commentator.
I didn't think he was a great commentator. I just thought he had his enthusiasm and his energy was infectious. And have you listened to the Something to Wrestle With podcast?
The Something to Wrestle With, Bruce Pritchard.
Yeah.
I've listened to some of them.
His ones on TNA are fascinating because he talks a lot and he goes into detail. But what he says about Don West is amazing. That Don would be at house shows shilling, and it'd be like a constant barrage of words, but they would take something like between $12 and $15 more per head at shows he was at than when he wasn't there. That's how good a salesman he is.
He's a key salesman, and if he was a little bit better looking, he'd probably be able to be a good pitch man, you know, like and I don't mean to be
I know.
I mean, if you look at Billy Mays was a decent looking guy.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the ShamWow guy is like a really pretty man. That's the second reference to a pretty man on the show, by the way. We need to keep a tally of that.
But that's our first shirt.
What?
That's our first shirt.
Yes.
A really pretty man.
The problem is people... I'm going to say it anyway. The problem is people who wear it might not be pretty men, you know? And...
Well, if I wore it, I'm certainly not a pretty man.
You and I both. So, at least we know our limitation there. But yeah, that's going to be our first shirt. A pretty man. Or what is it? A really pretty man? Whatever it is.
A really pretty man.
So... Who do you call? Who do you think is going to win this match?
I really, really hope Borash and Park. But again, I honestly think they might. But again, there's the caveat of but TNA.
Yeah.
But Impact. So they could have the heel win and drag it out even longer.
Which I hope to God they don't.
No. I think what we suggested there of fantasy booking in my head, you've got Borash does something to rile Abyss, to rile Joe Park. He turns into Abyss.
Well, they had Abyss a video of him saying that, like, yeah, we need Abyss, you know, so they teased it already.
Abyss is coming at Josh Matthews. Josh Matthews grabs Scott Steiner, shoves him in the way. In a sort of cowardly hiding.
And Scott Steiner breaks a hip.
Potentially. No, Scott Steiner thinks, hang on, you've just thrown me in the way of this monster. And turns on him as well. You could even have like Matthew, black hole slam to Steiner, black hole slam to Josh Matthews, pin. Matthews gets up and sort of goes over to Steiner, and Steiner then gives him the recliner or the screwdriver as a, you know, why did you throw me to the monster kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
As an extra bit, just as a full stop on this is the heel finally getting his comeuppance.
They need to, and Josh Matthews needs to go away for a little while. And I like Josh Matthews, for the most part. I mean, when he's on, when he's good, he's good. Let's say that though.
He did some really good stuff in WWE, and I was a fan of his going right back to the first Tough Enough. Tell you who one of his biggest fans in WWE was is my mum.
Really.
Because she loved the first Tough Enough. She watched it with me. I think that was 2001, 2002.
Yeah, around there.
So I was 16, 17, and I would watch that, and she'd sit and watch it with me, and she really got into it. She likes her wrestling. She came to an NXT show with me a couple of years ago.
Nice.
She's a huge Finn Balor fan, which I think when he was coming up with the Demon gimmick, he had a 67-year-old Welsh woman in mind. But I hope that's the end of that angle.
Yeah, it lasted 6 months too long. That angle should have been done the day it started. That's just my take on that.
Yeah.
Now the main event Whoa, that was a loud level there. The main event.
No, we have one of the match.
Do we?
What EC3 and James Storm in a strap match.
Oh, yeah. I don't have that one on my card. Okay, EC3, James Storm. Another match I don't really understand.
I don't understand it. You've got EC3 spinning his wheels, not happy in the company in general, doesn't care anymore. Roided out of his gourd, would melt the beaker if he took a pee test. Needs to go back to WWE, but needs to get clean first, probably will. But you've got a guy who doesn't really fit, doesn't in a gimmick attached to someone who's not there and isn't mentioned on air anymore as well. Versus James Storm, who is the best one in the world. I've always been a fan of James Storm, but looking fat and old. Came back with promises of big money and big things, and it hasn't happened.
Well, the DCC was probably the most entertaining thing they had put on television in a while. I really enjoyed the DCC.
It was so without direction, what I saw of it. They had a cult, but they and it's a problem I have with the Wyatts as well. They never really established why or what their goal was.
It's true.
It was just there, if you are going to have an angle, I just want my angles to. I want the characters to have, even if it's stupid, I want them to have a reason for what they're doing. That was my problem with Aces and Eights, is what was their end game?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. By no means just TNA. Nexus, another one. The Winds of Change. What does that mean? Give me something.
Yeah, well, I think with Nexus, so that thing came together so quickly, I don't think they really had the time to establish it.
No.
But once they got past that initial feud, and then not only that, but then they had the WWE guys beat them, you know, at SummerSlam, yeah. So that was a whole... at that point, they had no wind in their sail to really have... You know, imagine if they would have beaten Team Cena, Team WWE. Oh,
they should have. And I believe that's Cena actually apologized to him all backstage because he'd pushed for their team WWE to win.
Yeah, and I heard about that.
And then he immediately went up to Edge and Jericho and said, no, you were right. And he went and apologized to each of the Nexus guys.
Yeah, but that's, again, that's neither, we should talk about that whole angle in the podcast too. Yeah. Episode number 7, the Nexus breakdown.
So yeah, I don't particularly care about this one. I don't know enough about the angle to know why it's a strap match.
Yeah, it beats me. I don't know. I don't know either.
And I don't particularly want to see two guys ripping each other unless it's a real, real blood feud. James Storm was part of my favorite TNA feud, which was after America's Most Wanted split. And he and Chris Harris had an awesome, awesome Texas death match.
Yes.
And when I see... And the gimmick made sense because you'd had one of them blind, and it was redemption as well because the blindfold match was terrible. But the you'd had one of them blinded with the beer bottle, and then they used the beer bottles in the match, and that was TNA, all of the good stuff in TNA and how a gimmick match used properly. And I'm just looking now. See, is there a reason they're doing the strap match?
There probably is. It just TNA storytelling always puts the reason behind. You know, the angles.
Yeah, in the breakdown on this, on the wiki page, there's a description of why all the other matches are what they are. Or there's no particular reason why. And I've just noticed that the Davey versus Eddie tag match is a TLC match.
Is it really?
It's Full Metal Mayhem.
Oh, that's right. Ugh.
Because reasons.
Because the women had the Money in the Bank match.
Yeah, precisely.
Although this was filmed before that was announced, but don't get me started on that.
Yeah. So I don't think so. There's not even any discernible reason that this is a strap match, as far as I can see. Either. So no, it's. I think from what I've remembered, from what I've seen, they've been talking of. It's supposed to be a bit of a blood feud because EC3's been talking, I'm the future, you're the past of this company, and yada, 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 and, you know. No one cares. Let's talk about the main event.
Let's talk about the main event. Bobby Lashley versus Alberto El Patron. Bobby Lashley is a
Cokehead El Knife fight.
What?
Sorry, I'm making a lot of noise. I have to edit this bit out. Cokehead El Knife fight. With King Mo and Dos Caras in their corners.
Yes. Oh my God. What the hell? I don't understand.
So you've got like brutal MMA fighter and Alberto's elderly father.
Yeah. You know, Bobby Lashley is heading into this match as the TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Although it's called the Impact Wrestling Championship now. El Patron is the Global Force Wrestling Champion. Mm-hmm. He defeated Nick Aldis, who's no longer part of the promotion anymore, FYI, for the title. Nick Aldis did brag about being the longest reigning Global Force champion ever.
That was brilliant. There's someone else who got screwed by TNA. They had a great run to actually win the title, and they booked him as a massive coward.
Hiding behind Dixie. Yeah, that was stupid. Nick Aldis, if he would have been given a proper run in the business, would probably be a massive star. I like his look. I like his mic work is generally good when he's motivated. But WWE is never going to hire him because Mickey and Cena had a bad relationship, falling out.
Mickey's back with the company.
Mickey's back with the company, yes, but I don't think Nick Aldis wants to be around a bunch of men that his wife fucked. Pardon my language.
No, fair play. I got to be honest. Lashley, I can see why people are entertained by him. I've never got it. I find him so boring.
You know, he needs a mouthpiece, but he's better now than he's ever been.
Oh, he's significantly better now than he's been in the past. Yeah, it's just I don't see having someone like King Mo, who is insanely charismatic, with him helps.
Yeah, well, you know what would have been even better is if Donald Trump would have replied to Bobby Lashley's request to have Donald Trump in Bobby's corner. That would have put some asses in seats. You know,
I don't almost guarantee. There's part of me that thinks some of Trump's advisors had to beg him not to turn up.
Right. That would be hilarious.
He just tells him he's going to play golf again, and then he
escapes the security detail, shows up at Impact Wrestling, Slammiversary, gets into the... Can you imagine getting into the ring, and then 5 seconds later, Secret Service storms a ring and arrests everybody? and that's the TNA... That's the end of TNA. That's the best way to do it, is a massive swerve on their last show.
See, I have a crazy, crazy theory for this match. This is my fantasy booking. But anyway, I don't like boxing. I don't like mixed martial arts. I don't really approve of full combat sport. But you've got both of these guys are pro wrestlers who've done some MMA. Make it a proper MMA match. Plan out a storyline for both guys, for whoever wins, and have them go at it. Why not? Something different. That's got far more interest. That's gonna make far more people sit up and take notice than Lashley versus Del Rio. And I was a big Del Rio fan in both his runs, particularly his first run in WWE, when they turned him face and he had the Last Man Standing match with Big Show and won the title on SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah.
People forget that he was such a good babyface when he was doing that. I treated my people so badly deal. And then they turned him heel because he was feuding with Ziggler, and Ziggler was over big at the time. But he was so good in that face role. And then when he came back and he took the US title off Cena, I really enjoyed him then.
Yeah, but that they screwed that one up really fast by putting him up with Zeb, and then
That made no sense.
Yeah, then what was it? Mexico? What, they call it Mexico America or
yeah,
whatever the heck that they called that union thing, where that was stupid. It was really stupid, and I you know, Del Rio has the potential to be a big thing for TNA. He really does. And if they don't screw this up, I think he could be the person that gets eyes back on their product.
He could be, but he's also potentially a massive headache for them because of his alleged habits behind the scenes.
Yeah, you know, he's definitely somebody who would be a headache. And you know what? I think it might be worth having him still, even as a headache.
Yeah. TNA clearly doesn't give a stuff about the welfare of their talent. They never have.
Well, I think
look at how they just kept putting Angle out there when he clearly wasn't in good health or in his right mind.
Yeah, but again, I think with Anthem behind them now, I think Anthem is going to have a lot more risk.
You'd hope so. You'd hope so.
Yeah. I think Anthem has a lot more to lose than Impact independently did.
Yeah. You'd certainly hope so. Because I'm not a fan of the guy, but there was one of their marathon taping sessions. I think it was last year where Davey Richards worked 5 matches with a concussion.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So in pro wrestling, with a guy who wrestles a style and is obviously inspired by Benoit.
Yeah, that's not good.
The sheer callousness that was upsetting to me.
Yeah, that's not good. Yeah. What's your call on this one? Who do you think is going to take this one?
And Del Rio.
Patron. He needs to. Lashley should do is he should take a little bit of a break. You know.
Yeah.
He should be like on the Lesnar schedule, and just show up for big fights. You know, but. Yeah, I would be okay with Lashley leaving the promotion and going to WWE. I think, or just doing MMA full time. I don't think he draws much anymore.
No.
Especially when you have the thing is too. You have to. I just don't know what TNA is going to do to kind of freshen up their product in this next stage of their livelihood.
They just need more guys because I'm just looking at their roster, and it's embarrassing that this is supposed to be the number two company. You've got Abyss, Joseph Park, and he's a producer behind the scenes as well. And you've got going through the active guys. You've got a few injured people there. Del Rio. Bram, who's really a never was and a very unpleasant person in real life. Braxton Sutter, Caleb Conley, they brought back Suicide as Suicide, not Manic, which is very poor taste. DJ Z, Falabar, and Kongo Kong. These are guys who've been kicking around the indie circuit for a long time. They're not doing it. They're not presenting anything. They're different. Certainly Falabar and Kongo Kong, they're big fat guys. But they're not doing anything. They're not offering anything that's going to make people sit up and go, wow, this is a promotion we have to watch.
Yeah, exactly. And that was always been my problem with Impact in between their big funding. You know, when they had money, they spent money. It was good.
Bringing back Matt Morgan, a guy who's been like 4 years semi-retired. They're still calling him like the next big thing. Matt Morgan is 40 years old.
Yeah.
If it hasn't clicked by now, it's not going to.
Well, and I think Matt Morgan, I mean, there's a while there where I was like, yeah, build the promotion around Matt Morgan, you know?
Up until 2008, 2009, I would say, yeah, definitely. But by that stage, you think, if he hasn't got it by this stage, if it hasn't clicked, Just use him as a featured player, but don't keep promoting him as the next big thing because it's clearly not going to happen at that point.
Yeah, yep, yep. I agree.
They got KM, who's Kevin McDonald, who's just a bland indie guy. They've still got Mahabali Shira there, who's just terrible. They've got Tyrus, who again, it offers something different in terms of look, but you're not going to get any match quality out of him. So that means, what's the over-under on Jarrett being back on TV as a wrestler within the next few months?
I don't see it happening.
No?
No, I don't. He's in his 50s now, isn't he?
Yeah, but he can still go. He's still probably a better worker than a lot of the guys on the card because he works safe and sensible.
Yeah, I don't want to see Jeff Jarrett back on television at all, let alone in ring.
I don't want to see him in the main event necessarily, but I'd like to see him. I'd like to see him do a couple of feuds with younger guys. So if he can pick some younger guys and work with them and bring them on.
If we're gonna get Jeff Jarrett back on television, it better be Jeff Jarrett. This is gonna sound kind of productive from most of what we've talked about in this show, but it should be Jeff Jarrett with a stable of young guys. And he's kind of playing the Ric Flair role of Evolution.
I think that's a good idea.
And if anything, it should be something along the lines of like Jeff Jarrett, EC3,
someone like Eli Drake would fit well into that, but apparently they really don't get along. So
yeah, I would put Nick Aldis in that group.
Yeah.
And God, let me look at the roster. Let me look at the roster real quick, and we'll wrap up on this.
It's not entirely up to date. It's
If Matt Sydal could stop breaking his legs, he might have an opportunity to do something. There's nobody on this roster that I would want to see them.
This is what I mean. You look at the roster and there's no one you go, oh wow, yeah, I want to see them in an angle with someone else.
Here it is. Here's what I want to see. Jarrett, EC3, James Storm, Cody Rhodes.
Cody's not with the company anymore.
No, he's not, but that would be...
Yeah.
That would be the group.
See, now there's a feud I'd like to see. And it would just be straight up feud, no titles involved, anything, because I think they're both talented enough that it would be good. Is Jarrett and Eddie Kingston?
Yeah,
because Eddie Kingston could do the whole, well, I had to work for everything. I've been fighting around on the indies, all my personal issues. You had everything handed to you. Your dad formed a promotion for you, and do it that way. I reckon that would be a great. Angle that would be good on television, and say they're both good guys in the ring. Big Eddie Kingston fan.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm looking at their roster and it's just hilarious. The very end of the roster page, they have their alums or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at this, I'm like, oh yeah, this would have been, getting all these people together would have been great. I mean, the TNA of the past, Joey Ryan, Kazarian, Jesse Sorensen, Jay Lethal, Jeff Hardy.
The Jesse Sorensen, I think that's a podcast.
Oh, does he?
No, the Jesse Sorensen situation with his neck injury
and how he
was treated by the company.
They're lucky he didn't sue them. But yeah, we have quite a few shows that we can do. Chris, I think that's a good place for us to wrap up.
I agree.
Finishing up with the total time length of both part one and part two, be it 2 hours and about 11 minutes. So we gave the Multimedia Mouth readers quite a bit here to start out with the show. So it's good. I'm glad we did this. Next week, are we doing a show next week?
Every 2, isn't it?
What?
Every 2 weeks.
Oh, every 2 weeks? Yeah. So, yeah, let's do that. Every 2 weeks. So, in 2 weeks, when we are back with the Chris Nelson podcast, we'll have something special. We'll do some questions. Anyone listening wants to send them some questions. We'll have an email address. Probably askchris@multimediamouth.com. But it's gonna be fun doing the show with you, Chris.
Okay, we didn't approve this beforehand.
Approve of what? Doing the questions?
Me taking questions. Okay, yeah, no, that's fine. As long as I can vet them.
we'll set up a system. So if you have any questions, send them over to Chris Nelson. Ask Chris at multimedia.com. Follow Chris. Chris, what's your Twitter again?
At Chris Nelson MMM. That's Chris Nelson Multimedia Mouth. Thank you for coming along on this ride, because we just to make this even longer, we started off the first part of the first podcast here saying about the history of the site, and we've had a loyal core of people who stuck with the site, and I'm hoping now that they're still with us. But those of you who are new, who have come along with Ruben, it's great. I've put a lot of time into the site, perhaps not as much energy as I should have in the past because of real life and things getting in the way. But it's so gratifying to see something that I've been a part of, that I've essentially been running by myself for a long time, finally start to take off. And for you guys to be a part of that is great. And I really appreciate all of your time. If you've listened to this today, if you've read any of my articles, go and read the long haul articles. If you're from the States, I'd particularly like to hear your take on what you think of these episodes, because there's probably things you've never actually watched. Go and find these episodes online, watch them, and see what you make of 80s British sitcoms.
Awesome. Chris, hey, before we go, to make this even longer, do you have Netflix, right?
I don't know.
You don't? Okay. I'm going to get... is there Netflix in the UK? Is that...
Yeah.
Okay. If you can, sign up for the free trial. You get a month free trial. There's a documentary on Netflix about the Hulk Hogan trial.
Oh, I've heard about this, yeah.
Yeah, so let's, if you can, in the next 2 weeks, try to watch it so that we can discuss it on the next episode.
Cool, will do.
All right, everybody, thanks so much for tuning in to the Chris Nelson Podcast. My name is Ruben J. On behalf of myself and Chris Nelson. I cut you off there, I'm sorry. Follow me on Twitter @TheRubenJ. Follow Chris @ChrisNelsonMMM. And, of course, follow the brand @MultimediaMouth on Twitter. And we have an Instagram account and a Facebook page. So all of it, all @MultimediaMouth. Awesome. That's the end of episode 1, part 2.